The following podcast is sponsored by Endgame PR, a social media PR firm based near Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about how Endgame PR can help your business with media relations, social media management, content creation, and even podcast production, please visit endgamepr.com. That's E-N-D-G-A-M-E-P-R.com. Welcome to Season 1 of Rams Rewind, an all-new podcast that looks back on all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After every game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
I don't know what to say after something like that. If I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes, I would not have believed it. That second half, I hope it's out of character. I really hope it's out of character, because if it's not out of character, this season's headed down the pan and there's going to be some serious questions, especially after the bright start they've made to this season. You cannot play as well as they did in the first half and then do that. Not against somebody that you expect to be fighting with for a top spot in the conference. And not on the road, even with no fans. You've played so brilliantly up to halftime, and then you just—it's as if another team came out and put their uniforms on. I can't explain the lack of defensive energy, the lack of willingness to play as a team, the fact that everybody thought they had to do everybody else's job instead of their own job, the fact that on offense it seemed like Nobody wanted to pass to somebody else. What an absolute nightmare that is. And I'll tell you something, I'm looking at this second half box score, and there's some things that really scream out to me. One, 3 assists to 8 turnovers. We talked about more assists and turnovers. They had that in the first half. They had more turnovers than assists in the first half. And if I'd have been watching it live, I'd have said, that's the one thing that would worry me. 3 assists, 8 turnovers is really no good, but this offense only runs well when Adrian Baldwin's running it. Adrian Baldwin only played 12 minutes in the second half, and he had no assists and 1 turnover. And I mean, it was a whole bunch of zeros on there. 0-for-1, no assists, 1 turnover, 1 foul, -20. Adrian Baldwin's got to be running this offense, or we're not going anyplace with it. He's got to be running it. I mean, and the part that's really worrying is that it wasn't like they chucked a crap load of threes, missed them, and that's why they were so terrible in the second half. They only took 8 threes. They were 3 of 8. That's okay. 3 of 8's all right. They were 2 of 18 from inside the arc. That doesn't even seem possible. But when you watch the game, it is possible, because people were getting into the paint area and not looking for their teammates, and they were driving into blind alleys against, again, St. Bonaventure's a good defensive team, yes, but there is no reason, I mean none, to drive into these guys, and it looked like they were trying to draw a foul instead of trying to make the basket or set somebody else up for a better shot. Where was the teamwork? Where was the people screening for each other? Where was the people moving to try to make themselves available? And frankly, where was the passing? There wasn't any. How many times did I see somebody driving in the lane and then take a tough shot at a bad angle in the second half? Countless. How many times, and not to pick on Highland, because, you know, Highland was great in the first half, but Highland did this 2 or 3 times. He'd get the ball and just jack it up. And he made his first 3 in the second half to get to 16 total points, and then didn't make another shot, didn't score another point the rest of the half. And that's how you go 2 out of 18 from the 2-point line, from inside the 3-point line. And the refs didn't help, and I'm sure there were some complaints in the game thread about that. I had some. But honest to God, that offensive performance in the second half was unacceptable on every level, and of course that's how you get 14 points total, and that's it. And then we come to the defense. And it was night and day. Their defensive energy, I mean, I was thinking as I was watching this, man, I can't wait to do this video because that first 4 minutes to the under 16 timeout in the first half, their defensive energy was at a top level. They were getting after it. They were getting in people's faces. They were being overly aggressive. They were being the right kind of aggressive. And what happened in the second half? Not only did I think the foul issue might have cowed them a little bit on the aggressiveness, and again, some of the fouls were legit. Some of the fouls were just ticky-tack bad fouls by VCU. Some of the fouls were bad calls. But honest to God, everybody started to think, well, I have to do somebody else's job, which is how St. Bonaventure got all these damn dunks. It was almost all guys on the baseline whose defender left them, and they alley-oop or they bounce past it, and it's a dunk. If it happened once, it happened five times in the second half. And that is somebody gets into the lane, and you think to yourself, I'm going to stop doing my job because I'm going to try to do somebody else's job because I think I have to do somebody else's job. Well, you don't always have to do that. Sometimes you got to trust your teammates, and sometimes they'll get a layup, fine. It's better than a three-point play, and they had a shed load of those in the second half. Must have had five or six and-ones. Three of them were on dunks. That's crazy. That can't happen. Not when you're trying to win a championship. Not when you think you're a contender. Not when you had a 15-point lead in the first half because you were clearly the best team. You were the one out playing them. You were the one out hustling. You were the ones out working them. Not in the second half. St. Bonaventure's up level went through the roof energy-wise. And I think VCU, I wonder, did they relax because they were like, man, we're up 15 and we're kicking this team's butt and we're playing great? Or is it just, I mean, they just lost the plot. And defensively, it was terrible. And of course, the numbers bear it out. Doggone St. Bonaventure shoots 55%, 15 to 27. They make half their three-pointers, and they're not a very good three-point shooting team. But they only take six of them, so three out of six. So they're 12 of 21 from inside the two-point arc, which that's all right. That's all right. And then, you know, they've actually missed some free throws. Their free throws weren't great, but they were plus 11 at the foul line because VCU got a grand total of two foul shots by Jameer Watkins, who, as somebody was furiously messaging me and trying to spoil the score, and I will not name the person because the person should know better. Jameer Watkins, who did not have a good game, you know, he's got the only two foul shots they got in the second half. And that's the thing. This team let St. Bonaventure get into the lane over and over again. Rotations, what were they? They were nowhere. And nobody was trusting their teammates. Nobody was sticking to their task. They were trying to do everybody else's job for them. And that's how that happens. And I mean, it was just a complete reversal of everything. Dominated on the backboard in the first half, completely got their head handed to them on the backboard in the second half. You know, 22 to 14 total rebounds. Only one more offensive rebound for St. Bonaventure, but second chance points was 7-0. And after dominating in the paint in the first half of VCU, because I'm pretty sure they were way ahead in that stat. Oh, no, they weren't as ahead as I thought. It was 16-12 in the paint to start that first half. But even still, they were winning the paint. They were winning that battle in the first half, paint points in the paint. St. Bonaventure gets them by 20. Just the regular 20 points in the second half, 24-4. 15-2 on points off turnovers. Of course, it helps to only commit five turnovers in the second half. It's not a lot of chances for VCU. Just absolutely, absolutely horrible in every respect. And, I don't know. And again, some of this is on the coach because Mark Schmidt's one of the best coaches out there. Everybody knows it in the A-10. All-time victory leader at St. Bonaventure. I forgot he'd been there 14 years. But he got into his team and tore them a new one, I'm sure. But they made some adjustments, and Mike Rhodes and his coaching staff did not adjust to him. And then the second thing is, okay, you might come out a little bit lax, but when you see St. Bonaventure jump on you with seven quick points, you'd think that might be the kick in the butt to get your team's energy levels up. Nope, didn't happen. And offensively, you know, we were so good in the first half at getting to the rack and getting to the rack and getting to the rack and getting shots in close. And then when they were missing, getting rebounds, getting offensive rebounds and making some hay with them. 14 offensive rebounds in the first flipping half. Holy mackerel. And second chance points, 14-2. And that's like, that is fantastic. That is what you're looking for. And I can't get over the fact that they could be 15 up at halftime and get their doors blown off like that in the second half. That is, there's a lot of people that got to look in the mirror here. And it's tough. Yes, they're a young team, and they were talking about that too, that, you know, they got to learn and get older and all that stuff. And that excuse can scan them for a little while longer, but there's enough veterans on this team that you can't allow you that you got to show some leadership and not allow that. You know, Levi Stockard had such a great start in the first half, and they didn't get, you know, he was anonymous in the second half. And even though he's a transfer, he's a guy who's, you know, been in college basketball for a while. He's got to show some leadership. Same with Corey Douglas. I liked what Corey Douglas was doing in the first half, but he was nowhere in the second half. Let's see here. Douglas played, you know, Douglas only played 6 minutes. Levi Stockard only played 8 minutes in the second half, and that's a substitution pattern that I have a real problem with. From Rike Rhodes, because those guys, again, you need your older players on the floor sometimes when everybody else is kind of spinning their wheels, and they didn't get that. Vince Williams was probably one of the more consistent players for the whole 40 minutes, but even then, you know, he wasn't as aggressive going to the basket as I've seen him in other games, and he needed to do that more. And They held Osunyi down. They completely erased him in the first half. He did nothing, and in the second half, he almost ends up with a double double total. I mean, 9 points, 9 rebounds total. And I know he had all his points in the second half because they were showing that on the TV. I wonder how he did rebound wise. Yeah, he only had one rebound, so he nearly had a double double in the second half. He had 9 points and 8 rebounds in the second half. And I forgot that he didn't play the game last year, and that's why Santo Silva went nuts on him. I think Santo Silva ate his lunch two years ago. But this is just what a failure. And again, I've been so positive about this team's mentality. It's been wise beyond their years in so many games. That mentality was not there tonight. It was an absolute failure in every respect. They got out of control. You know, Hyland getting a technical foul yet again, and then he gets a double tech, and I'm thinking to myself, oh God, they're going to give him the ball right after that because they're going to think, oh, he's mad and he's going to heat up, and he turns it right over. And it's like at that point, I'm like, oh damn, we are in real trouble here. We are in big, big, big time trouble here. And I mean, if you want to sum it up, let's sum it up. Let's go back to Ace Baldwin, who's been really the metronome for this team. You know, when he's been on the floor and he's played like he has for most of the season, this offense has looked great. This team has looked great. This is Adrian Baldwin in 20 minutes tonight. And again, he's a freshman, so I suppose we have to expect these kind of games once in a while, but it's really frustrating and it's really tough because it's hard for this team to win when this is the case. 0-for-2. One board, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. 2 assists. You know, flipping Jimmy Clark off the bench. Same, you know, he had 3 assists. Unfortunately, he had 3 turnovers too. And you know, he got caught in a couple situations. And that's the other thing. You think about all them shots they blocked in the first half. I think they had 8 block shots in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. I think they only had 1 in the second half. Let's see. Oh, excuse me. They had 7 block shots at halftime. They only got 2 in the second half. They fell down on that too, but this was such a failure of the team's mentality. The usage of the timeouts with Rhodes, I think that's a frustration for a lot of fans, and I think it's right to be. He does not know how to. He thinks this team can play out a run sometimes, and there was a couple times tonight when they looked like it, but there was a couple times where it's like, dude, use your timeout, stop this. stop this momentum. I'm flabbergasted. I'm absolutely flabbergasted that they could play that well in the first half and then just come apart at the seams, have a 31-point turnaround second half. You're too good a team to get outscored by 31 and a half. That is – give me a break. Give me a break. They took 42 pointers tonight against 19 threes. And as I said, I prefer that thing to be closer to 3-1, but they only made 11 of them. 11 for 40 from the two from inside the arc. I mean, it really doesn't seem possible to do that. But that is what happened. And it's making the extra pass, putting your body on the line for your teammate by setting a screen, putting your body on the line by making that hard cut, giving your teammate a better angle to pass it to you, or moving the deep or manipulating your defender in such a way to give your teammate a better angle at the basket. All of those things. It's all of those things. And there just was not enough of it tonight. There wasn't enough off the ball movement, especially in the second half. You know, when it wasn't somebody jacking a shot up or somebody getting the ball, putting it on the deck, driving, and then driving into, you know, two or three guys and not passing. There's just people just standing around. You know, and we play all these players so that we can keep that energy up. And it didn't happen tonight. And I'm wondering, like, you know, Josh Banks didn't play tonight. I don't know if he's injured or it's a COVID thing or whatever, but it would be nice. It would have been nice to have him, especially as Watkins just did not play well at all. And it was funny to hear them talk about Bones Highland's shot selection. I think, you know, that there was a lot of that in the second half, because in the first half, it was really good. You know, he's 4-for-7 at the halftime and he's making these threes. But man, what a missed opportunity to be up 15 on the road against a team that you may end up tied with for a spot near the top of the conference. And you just go to pieces like that. And Watkins, that technical foul. He'd have been off the floor for me because he made a whole bunch of other mistakes before then. But honest to goodness, selfish. You know, you're frustrated. Guess what? So is everybody else. But just whacking the guy in the back, and, you know, Highland almost elbowed that guy right before he got the double tech. I'm sorry, but you got to think. You can be mad and you can be frustrated. That's understandable. But you got to think of somebody other than yourself, because that's all you're doing. Oh, I'm not happy, so I'm going to whack this guy. What? No. And don't give me you're a freshman or sophomore and they don't know any better. You do know better. You're old enough to know better. Come on. I expect more of you of that. VCU fans expect more of you of that. Your teammates and the coaches expect more of you than that. Come on. That's one, there are some things you can alibi and excuse on youth and that sort of thing. That's not one of them. That really isn't one of them. So this is tough. This is tough because, man, at halftime I'm thinking, oh, we're going to have all this momentum going to the Dayton game, and we're going to be excited for the Dayton game because it's, you know, even though it's not the same Dayton as last year, it's still a big game. It's also the start of a, you know, 3-game homestand, and it's like if you win this St. Bonaventure game, like it looks like you're going to, then it's like, oh, you can really put yourself in a great position in the conference, and you turn around and just get your doors blown off like that. Golly bless. Yeah, and I know some people will be like, where's Cockney Grant and some of the other audio things you play. I don't know if we can get away with that sort of stuff on the podcast, so I'm not doing it, at least not yet. I will confer about those things. Plus the way my recording software works, I have to add those things back in. I have to make those things into little audio drops and then add them back in, and that could be a royal pain in the rear end. So I don't want to be doing that just yet. That might come later, especially if we do Facebook Live video when we record one of these. Which I hope Saturday 4:30. I'm hoping that all the stuff I got to do, that I'll be able to find time to sit down and watch it live for 2 hours, but I can't promise that because, as I may have mentioned, if I haven't mentioned, I'm in the midst of getting ready to move to an apartment here in Sarasota, out of where I've been living for a while, and that is stressful and creating a lot of work, and it's something, and it means I have to do stuff on my days off from work that I normally don't have to do. So I hope I'm going to be sitting here watching this live with y'all on Saturday, which is now a must-win game for me because this three-game homestand, which might not have looked that tough at the start because, again, Dayton lost so many players. UMass, they struggled last year. LaSalle struggling last year. Well, Dayton's still pretty tough. UMass is up there near the top of the conference fighting with everybody else. So all of a sudden, that's a huge game. And LaSalle's been kind of frisky too. So this three-game homestand is pretty tough. And then it's followed by back-to-back road games after this. And it being 4-1 with a win over St. Bonaventure with four road wins, if they'd have pulled it off, would have been absolutely massive. And instead, they have thrown that away, and they really have to win this Dayton game. Let's make no bones about it. They got to win this game because they've already got some tiebreaker issues. They're going to lose a tiebreaker with St. Bonaventure, obviously. Dayton's team, they're going to play twice. They've got another shot at Rhode Island, but if they lose to them, and we know what Rhode Island's done to them in the past, that would put them in a bad way with tiebreakers on them. So, we're already even at 3-2 in the conference, which is not terrible, and with a lot of conference games left, it's starting to get serious here now. And they got to defend home court. And to me, it's as simple as that, is that they have to defend their home court in conference play. And they got to get the taste of this game out of their mouth, because I can't imagine what it was like on because I assume it was the bus and then the plane. It had to be pretty quiet in there, knowing that they had this great opportunity, that this game was moved for them. And yeah, it was short notice, but so what? The tournament at the start of the year was short notice, and they came up trumps there, and they were so good in that first half and just threw it away, and just absolutely threw it away with just not doing the things that got them there and have got them there all year. And it's like they forgot everything that's worked for them all season. And that is hard to take. That is really, really hard to take, because this team is better than that. This team is more like that. I believe, and I may turn out to be wrong, and I hope I'm not, but I believe this team is more like the team in the first half against St. Bonaventure and not the second half against St. Bonaventure. But you know what? We're going to find out in this homestand. And they should win all three anyway, but they've got to win all three, because they've got to reestablish. They seem to have kind of lost their identity a little bit, because they weren't good against, Rhode Island. We know what happened. It was 54-54, and then they went to pieces. The George Washington game was good in spurts, but again, not a lot is expected of GW, and they just lost some players as well. And then this second half against St. Bonaventure, I'm trying to remember a second half as bad as that, where it was that bad for the entire 20 minutes, as opposed to, say, 3- and 4-minute stretch where you just kind of lose yourself completely, and that's where the damage is done. This was the whole entire 20 minutes. It started out bad, and it got no better. And I mean, a 14-point half is it should be impossible, especially for a team like VCU. It should be impossible, but it wasn't. So that is it. Dayton up next, not the Dayton of last year. VCU, the last time they played them, then that home game, they had so many chances. That actually came up in my memories the other week about how well they played against Obi Toppin and that crew when Dayton was a top five team and still found a way not to win the game. And that's when that was right around the time where the season just started to spin completely out of control. It's time to get the season back on track. It's time to get back to this team not being five individuals on both ends of the floor, but being a team that is working for each other, working together, connected. And it's also time for this team to start looking like a grown-up team again, because they did. Their mentality was so good in the first part of the season. You could not argue with their efforts and with the efforts they put out and with And with the way they approached games, their mental approach was so good with few exceptions. And now in 2 out of 3 games, their mentality has been terrible. So it is time to get back to what they were doing early in the season. It's time to be grown up again. Stop with the silly fouls and the silly technicals and start thinking about the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is this team still has an opportunity to do special things. It still has an opportunity to finish high up in this conference and put themselves in a good position for the conference tournament. It's time to start thinking of that instead of thinking of yourself and thinking of your own frustrations. So that's it from me. Like everybody else, I'm disturbed and perturbed what I saw, especially in the second half after first half was so great. And I'll be talking to you Saturday, hopefully Facebook Live. If not, it'll be like this. It'll be a video uploaded. And those of you listening in the podcast land, thank you for listening to VCU Rams Rewind. I look forward to the next time I will speak to you.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. To participate in the post-game Facebook Live with George, join the Facebook group VCU Basketball Fans, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.